And his smiling, cheerful self is here, Jules Bellaby.
Oh, it's very nice of you to say that, Ray. Smiling as always.
I know that. Welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. And welcome, Steve Hackett.
Jules.
Before the break, we heard a track off the Highly Strung album, didn't we?
That's right.
Give It Away, which, of course, as we all heard, was fairly powerful, electric, etc., etc., which is a departure from the current tour. Is that right?
Yes, the new tour is entirely acoustic, almost entirely acoustic, I should say. Apart from a pickup on a guitar and a microphone for a flute, it's entirely acoustic. And that's to back up the new album, Bay of Kings, which is, again, the same kind of album. It's really a kind of protest against the synthesizer, if you like.
This is rather interesting. Does an album like, what's it called?
Bay of Kings.
Does that take as long to put down then as some of your other albums?
It took me about 3 years to record, actually. I'm told not to say that sort of thing. It's just that I've been doing it in parallel to all the other albums that I've been making over the past years, and no one was breathing down my neck telling me there was a deadline for it, and so I've been doing it at my own pace, but getting it to the point whereby I was totally happy with it before it was finally released, which should be in a couple of days' time.
Now, this is something you wanted to do for a long time, isn't it?
Absolutely. I've been talking about it for far too long, but this is finally there.
Why?
Well, as I said before, there is that feeling whereby you can have over-reliance on props, and I think rock and roll has largely to do with props, whether it's shampoo or whether it's twin set and pearls or whether it's a laser. I mean, whatever it happens to be, rock and roll is just chock full of all those safety nets, if you like, and I just feel that the risk is slightly taken out of it, and so I'm in a way working towards a kind of credibility for myself, or a street credibility, which means going back to acoustic instruments and showing that you can actually play that instrument.
It's about as far away from Genesis as you could get, really, isn't it?
It is, actually, yeah. I mean, I think to a large degree, you know, you don't know whether you're listening to a man or a machine with most of the stuff these days, but this is definitely putting it back in the hands of the players, really.
Now, you're doing this tour. Is it all college circuits, or...?
It's mainly colleges, yes. We're doing Kiel tonight.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've done some travelling today, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. We got up at 7:15, so let it not be said that musicians are slackers.
Dedication to the art, I'd say.
That's right, and we came down from Plymouth, and it's a hell of a drive, and we just about made it by the skin of our teeth now.
Okay, well, we'll give you some time to recover. What's the track we're going to hear now?
The first track is called The Journey, and it's off the new album, Bay of Kings.
Some journey through plenty of strings. Steve Hackett there on the amazing guitar. Well, am I right in saying that was a gut strung guitar?
That's right, yes, a nylon strung guitar, or a gut one. It used to be made out of cats, but we just feed the strays in the street instead of pulling them in to strangle them and change them into guitar strings.
Well, you can always tell a guitarist by his right hand, can't you? In fact, he's got longer nails on his right hand than his left hand.
That's right. I've just been polishing them up today, in fact, for the gig tonight, and it's murder if you break one of them. So
then you have to put on those pick things on, do you?
Oh, no, I can't manage those at all. Terrible. I'm quite lucky because most of the time the nails actually stand up to it.
Really?
It's just that if you go for a car door or a suitcase too much enthusiasm,
have to take plenty of calcium, keep them up.
Yeah, well, I'm told that eating squares of jelly can do wonders.
Yes, I heard that, I think. Yeah. I don't know why. It's meant to be very therapeutic.
Yeah.
Sounds like
makes you sick, but it helps your nails. You
know? All the tracks on Bay of Kings are penned by yourself, aren't they?
That's right, yeah.
But they do have a classical leaning, or at least that one did, because that's the only one I've heard so far.
As I said,
very John Williams, I thought.
Yeah, I think...
Do I offend you?
No. That's a very very flattering comparison. I'm a self-taught guitarist. You know, mine's a very unschooled approach, and it's unorthodox in the least. I mean, it's a cross between a plectrum style and things that I've watched from other people, so it's arrived there by itself, really.
Does that mean that by being self-taught that your style is a sort of mishmash of a lot of other guitarists' style?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything that I do has been ripped off other people.
That's not true, you know.
But what I mean is that having watched other people, I mean, that was the only schooling that I got, really. And you can learn a tremendous amount just by watching someone's movements. You can see what the actual thing looks like, and I think it's I'm lucky that I'm able to visualize the guitar. Yeah, that's right. And but the thing is, when I look at a piano, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. Looking at a keyboard by comparison, I have to work everything out, and I have no retention of it.
Mm.
You know, if my fingers go away from the keyboards for a few seconds, I go back and hope I can remember it. But for some reason, the visualization on the fretboard is that much easier.
Well, a lot of people will have watched Steve Hackett and heard him and tried to copy him. Who did you watch? And
I grew up listening to people like
Hendrix.
No. Hendrix. No, actually, no. Earlier than that was Hank Marvin, who I met once or twice recently, and he was just going to the same people that sell me my contact lenses because he does scuba diving. Try recognizing Hank without the glasses.
See, Mike Adams talks about Hank Marvin in the Shadows as being as having more to do with the development of British
absolutely.
Music than Sir Cliff Richard.
Well, it was the precision of the style, you know, and for the first time you were hearing melodies played absolutely cleanly, and I still respect that. But, I mean, there's been lots of guitarists since. I mean, you mentioned Hendrix, and he had the other kind of approach whereby no one knew what Hendrix was going to do next, least of all Hendrix.
Did he? Yes.
So playing through all the feedback, and that was the opposite end of the spectrum, but just as beautiful in its own way.
With Fear of Being Boring, did John Williams influence you in any way at all? He's classical, of course.
Yeah, I'd say that in the main, people get exposed to it's mainly Segovia and Julian Bream is well known, and John Williams. There's a lesser known guy called Narcisco Yepes who was in fact listening today. I mean, lots and lots of people that are brilliant on the instrument, but I suppose out of all of them. Segovia gets a more mellow kind of sound, maybe because he doesn't allow a microphone to be placed anywhere near the guitar. And then people say that, you know, John Williams has got a much more cold sound. That's because it's recorded much more brightly, so you get that sort of get more click and nail sound. But it's absolutely precise. It's just I suppose mine's a kind of amalgam of all the sounds that I've heard, but it's like a rock guitarist's approach to it, you see, and I always think of rock guitar as having a very big sound, therefore I use a lot of echo with the guitar, try and make it sound very big and deep, you know, so it's...
Okay, we're going to have another go at this now. We're going to turn the album over and play track two on the B-side. Now, what's this?
It's called Second Chance. In fact, it was a TV series that was done by Yorkshire Television and starring Susanna York and a friend of mine, Ralph Bates. And this was the theme that I wrote for it.
Very nice. We'll take that just after this break. Right, so very nice. We've come to the end of that. I didn't know. I was just talking away to Steve and didn't tell me it was a short one, did you? Why do you do short ones like that to trap disc jockeys?
Well, originally it was even shorter, in fact, because it was going to be a TV theme. And they said, well, we want something which lasts 30 seconds. So I got out the stopwatch and thought, this is it. You know, passion... In 30 seconds.
Excellent.
Yes, it was quite a passionate series, wasn't it, really?
That's right, yes, it was. It was a heartbreaking story of divorce and...
And things.
And things, yes. Etc.
So what sort of reaction has this acoustic set been getting then?
Well, live, it's been tremendous. People that have come along have said, well, normally I only come along to rock gigs. I normally come along stoned out of my brain and come along to rock gigs to tear up the place, but I found that it had a more tranquilizing effect than most of the drugs that I take, and so, it actually works.
Well, that's right. It I mean, it doesn't really ask for audience participation at all, does it?
It's not really a participant medium, if I may be so bold. It's really, it's the kind of thing you sit back and listen to it, you know. I suppose that's its appeal, you know. It's supposed to relax you rather than get you stomping along. So it's coming from an entirely different angle to the things that I've done in the past, which are mainly rock.
Well, you've got this out of your system now. Are you going to go back to Steve Hackett of old?
Well, I'd like to go on to Steve Hackett of new, really. I'd like to do something much more experimental at the opposite end of the musical spectrum. And this is a kind of one-off for me, and it gets the tranquil stuff out of my system, but there's all that insurrection that I want to get out again. So.
Well, Steve Hackett, thanks very much. On a keel tonight.
Thank you.
Have a good gig.